Hello, welcome back to Mama Matters 2 podcast. I'm so happy you're here. I hope that last weekend's time change was not too challenging, and if it was, I hope you guys are getting right back on track and getting the rest that you need, and that your kiddos are not waking up at the crack of dawn or staying up until 10 p.m. So if they are, let me know. I would love to help you out. I have a link for my Facebook group down in the show notes. Come in there, tell me your issue, tell me what time your kiddo is waking up or going to bed, and I can definitely help you get them back on track. So today, though, I wanted to talk about toddler sleep. I have had 9 different moms reach out to me in the past week alone with kiddos ages 2, right around 2 to like 4.5, with pretty similar issues, either transitioning to the toddler bed, which I will do an episode just on the transition, because that is difficult and challenging and comes with its own set of things that we can work on. But I wanted to talk about toddler sleep in general, because sometimes some of these kids that these moms are reaching out to me about are still in their cribs. Some have been in their toddler beds forever and doing great, and then all of a sudden their sleep is derailed. So I just kind of wanted to cover all of it in a blanket statement. And even though no one kid is the same as another, I still feel like these tips will be very helpful if your kiddo is fighting bedtime or waking up all night. I have been there in both of those scenarios, and it's not fun. So just wanted to talk about some things that you can do, specifically 6 tips to get your toddler sleeping through the night again or going to bed easy so that you can reclaim your nights. Hey, Mama. Are you tired of constantly being exhausted, not knowing what the day or night will hold? Are you sick of letting your mental and physical health suffer and feeling out of control of your day-to-day life as a mom? Are you ready to feel empowered and in control of your mind and home and finally feel rested again? Hey, I'm Alexa Martinez, pediatric sleep consultant, postpartum doula, and fellow mama who has been in your shoes, and I am so glad that you're here. Think of this as a cozy conversation with your best friend on a comfy couch mixed with a coaching session. Mom life, health and wellness, sleep, faith, and how to get rid of the overwhelm are all topics we will cover here on the podcast. And trust me, we don't shy away from the real and hard stuff. I'm here to help you put systems in place so that you can finally let go of the baggage and start enjoying motherhood the way you were created to. It's time to start feeling like yourself again, friend. So go reheat your coffee, I'm sure for the 10th time today, and let's dive right in. Because Mama, you matter too. Okay, let's do it. So I just wanted to start out by saying this is in no way, shape, or form, you know, one-on-one advice. I never want to make a parent feel like their kid, if this doesn't work for you for some reason, I never want you to feel like there must be something wrong with my child. There must be something wrong with what I'm doing. And that is for sure not the case. A lot of times kids are different. I mean, every single one of us are different. They're individual people. And what works for some or even the majority of kids might not work for your own child. So please take that, you know, make sure that you're going into this knowing that and take that to heart and know that you're not doing anything wrong if you feel like you have exhausted every option and nothing is working. Because I, you know, my toddler even was really, really challenging when he went through a huge sleep regression. I don't even know if you could technically call it a sleep regression. He was 4, but, you know, he went through a transition into a big boy bed, and I am a sleep consultant, obviously. I know by textbook what I should do and how that transition should have looked. It took us a solid month before we saw any progress, and I just had to stay consistent. Most toddler parents that I work with, it takes them like a few nights to 2 weeks max to see some changes, and it took us 4 weeks to see any changes really, and then about 6 weeks until he was sleeping through the night again and going to bed consistently by himself without getting out of bed. And, you know, I pulled out every trick that I had. So it just took consistency, and that is not the norm. Most kids, of course, my kid is the one that's going to be challenging, right? So he was sleeping through the night since 6 months old and had no issues ever unless he was sick. And so I guess we were just due for a little reality check. And I feel like the Lord was like, okay, this is for you to remember how hard it is to not sleep so that you can feel refueled to help these moms. And refueled I did. So I am here to tell you that I understand what it feels like to feel like you've lost the entire evening just trying to get your toddler to go to bed, and then you're waking up in the night again and I'm like, this is worse than newborn. Like, this feels like I have a newborn again. So I've been there, and I work with moms all the time that have been in your shoes, and you are not alone. So I just wanted to start with that so that you realize that, you know, you're not doing anything wrong. Your child is not doing anything wrong. They're not doing this on purpose. They're not out to get you. They're just having a hard time. So here are my top 6 tips that I feel like works pretty well to, you know, unless there's an outlier, work pretty well to at least get a good start. And then if you're still having issues, you can always work with a certified pediatric sleep consultant to help you implement these or come up with different solutions, get creative. I have definitely gone outside the box with my own child and with clients that just have more spirited kiddos. So don't feel like you're a lost cause if you feel like you need a little bit of extra help. That's what I'm here for. So tip one, I feel like this is pretty commonly known, but I did want to mention it because sometimes it's the little things that you're like, oh yeah, like we have gotten into a routine of doing this and maybe we should stop. And that is screen time, limiting screen time before bed. I am a big proponent for screen time when you need to. I mean, and my husband works evenings, so it's most of the time me and Carson by ourselves in the evening. And when I'm trying to make dinner, and it's getting a little bit easier as he gets older, but especially when he was 1, 2 years old, I'm like, I can't make a meal for him or do anything, let alone feed him, when, you know, he's hanging off of me and he's crabby and it's, you know, evening time and you're trying to fit in spending time with them and, you know, having connection, one-on-one connection, doing the dishes, doing laundry, making dinner, making sure everybody eats a balanced meal. And it's just so, and then bath time, getting them ready for bed. It's a lot. It's all a lot. So I have been in the place where we just rely on screen time in the evenings way too much. And that's just my own personal philosophy, is that there's a point where it's just a little bit too much for us, for my kid in particular. We still for sure implement screen time. We do use it, but limiting it as much as possible right before bed does see, especially when they're having issues going to sleep or with night wakings, just limiting any stimulating activities and screen time as much as possible. I am huge about one-on-one playtime in spurts. So what I mean by that is setting a timer. And if you have other kids, that's totally fine. I would really encourage you, if at all possible, to do this with each of your children. So if there's another parent there, or even implementing screen time and saying, okay, it's child one's time for one-on-one playtime with mommy. You watch a show or you play with daddy or whatever, and then we'll switch, something like that. So having that one-on-one connection, setting a timer for 10 to 15 minutes, letting your kiddo dictate the play, do whatever they want to do. We're not making a huge mess, right? But like playing with magnet tiles or drawing or coloring or playing with slime, something like that, where it's like we're doing something that's not super messy. We're not like getting out the watercolors and finger paints right before bed, but doing that one-on-one that's not part of the bedtime routine, because that's something that they do anyway, but just having that one-on-one connection just with them, no phones, no outside stimulus, just one-on-one, you and them, letting them lead the play. You're not dictating what they're doing. You're playing whatever they want to play. So that is something that I see helps a lot and that helped us a lot specifically and just has worked so well for other clients as well. Just having that one-on-one time, limiting screen time, limiting stimulating activities. Like don't, I know a lot of, you see it all the time, like especially dads, they'll like supposed to be tucking the kid in. They're like wrestling up there, tickling or whatever. That's fine. But just, you know, try to keep it calm. Try to keep the activities as the least amount of stimulating as possible and just kind of focus on winding down for the evening while still having that one-on-one connection seems to really get them in a headspace of feeling like they can separate from you for the night and eliminating separation anxiety issues. My second tip, and this is just for parents, this is not for parents that already have their kiddos in a crib and they're having issues in the crib. This is not for you, but those that are thinking about transitioning to a toddler bed or have already transitioned to a toddler bed, if your child is not at least 3, ideally 3.5 or 4, I really encourage you to either leave them in the crib or put them back in the crib. It is possible to start over even if you've already put them in a toddler bed. It is absolutely possible. I've worked with families before on putting your kiddo back into the crib when you've made that transition too early. Similarly, I also want them to be in a good sleep space before transitioning them out of the crib. So if they're in the crib and you're like, okay, their sleep is crap, or, you know, we're having another baby, we need the crib. Like these are all reasons not to get your kiddo out of the crib. So really when they're ready is if they're at least 3, again, ideally 3.5 or 4, they are showing interest in being in a big girl or big boy bed. They're excited about it. And, you know, you feel like there's no huge transitions going on like a new baby or a move or anything like that. All of those are just kind of hard for them to make multiple transitions all at once. So making sure it's its own transition and they're ready for it, but really just developmentally appropriate for them. So of course, if your kiddo is under age 3 and they are climbing out of their crib, you've moved the mattress all the way down to the floor, they're still climbing out, they're hurting themselves, whatever, of course, then we need to transfer them out into a bed. But for the most part, as a general rule of thumb, trying to wait until they're 3.5 or even close to 4 is really ideal. So that's really the time that they can start understand what you're telling them and like fully grasp the idea of staying in their bed. Before that, it's kind of like in one ear, out the other. Like they really just, they're not trying to be bad. They just truly don't understand. So just keep that in mind that we want to wait to transition them until they're ready. The third tip is to use tools. So my two favorite tools to use while sleep training or just, you know, going through a little regression or whatever is an okay to wake clock and then a bedtime pass. So the okay to wake clock is pretty much just a like red light, green light type of system. We use the Hatch clock. We use that as a sound machine. We have since he was born, but we use it also for an okay to wake clock. So it turns, and my child just wakes up early. So, you know, use your own times, but we have it turn yellow around, it's red all night. And then we have it turn yellow around, I think we set it to 5:45. It starts turning yellow. He naturally wakes between 6 and 6:15, so we have it turn yellow at 5:45. That means he can get up. If you're comfortable with that, great. If not, then just tell them they need to stay quietly in their bed. We tell him that he can get out of his bed when his clock is yellow. He needs to stay in his room, but he can play in there. He can read a book. He can play quietly with toys. He really doesn't. He stays in his bed for the most part, but he does have the option to get out of bed at that point. Then at 6:15, it turns green, and that means he's okay to come in our room. So most mornings, he like literally so loudly opens our door. It startles me every single morning, runs in our room and comes and runs in bed with us and just kind of lays in bed for 10 minutes until we feel like we're awake enough to get out of bed. So that's what our mornings look like over here. Most parents set it around like 6:30, it turns yellow. And then by like 6:45 or 7, it turns green. You know your kid best. You know what time they're going to wake up naturally. He just naturally is an early riser. So don't make it harder than it has to be by like forcing. Like if I were to make him stay in bed till 7, some mornings that means he would be up for an hour. And I just don't have it in me to try to get him to stay in his room by himself for an hour. At this point, he probably would because he's so well versed on the clock system, but I just don't have it in me. He does really well waking up between 5:45 and 6 and then staying in his own room and just quietly playing, singing, whatever. So that works for us. You know, pick the time that works best for you. Some parents also don't use the yellow. They just use it's red until it's time to wake up and then it turns green. So it's really up to you and what you want to do. We like the yellow system because if he does wake up, he kind of knows, okay, it's close, like it's still morning time, but it's just not quite ready. So it gives him a little bit more patience. He doesn't have to like call us and ask us, when is my light turning green? He knows it's coming soon. So that's why we use the yellow, but it's really up to you and your own discretion. We also like to use we don't anymore, but when we were going through that huge regression, it did help us a lot, using a bedtime pass. So a bedtime pass is, you know, giving them a pass once or twice. I wouldn't do more than two because then they start to lose track of it. We just did one. Some parents do choose to do two. That's totally fine. But giving them a pass to get out of their bed once, and that's a free pass. So most kids will use it when they're trying to fall asleep. They'll wait and, or sometimes they'll wait and be like, okay, I want to hang on to this pass. I don't want to use it for something that's not important. And they'll hang on to it and not even end up using it at all. Some kids, they'll use it, like I said, when they're trying to fall asleep. If it's just taking a while to fall asleep, they come in to parents' room, say they're having trouble falling asleep or they're scared or they need some water or they need to go potty, whatever the excuse is, they can get up out of bed one time. It's a free pass and then they need to go right back to sleep. Some kids will use it in the middle of the night. It really doesn't matter when they use it, but they know that it's there. And some kids, I mean, a lot don't even end up using it. They just hang on to it and it's just a comfort that, okay, if I have to get out of bed, if I need something, I can, and it's there if I need to use it. So that's a good, if you feel like this doesn't work for every kid, but if you feel like it would be comforting or helpful for your child, it is absolutely a helpful tool to use just to try. And if it doesn't end up working well for your child, you can always take it away. So using a Okay to Wake Clock and Bedtime Pass are some of my favorites. I am going to leave the blog link for this episode down in the show notes where I go a little bit more in depth about Okay to Wake and Bedtime Pass. And that way you have it, you know, in text so that you can use that to implement on your own. So now we get into really the meat of sleep training or just implementing some type of sleep plan to get them to stay in their bed. So I really recommend having a plan beforehand. If you are transitioning them to a big boy bed, or you just, they've already made that transition, or whatever situation you're in, have a plan. If you're going into this and they're in the crib, still have a plan. So whatever that may look like, I am a really big fan of the chair method. Basically all that means is just having a chair, you know, about 3 feet away from their bed or crib so that you're in the room with them and they know that you're there, but you're not making any noise. You're not talking. You're not making eye contact. You just sit very stoically until they fall asleep. If they do get out of their bed, just kind of remind them quietly, if you get out of bed again, I will leave the room, and, you know, set a timer for 30 seconds or a minute or whatever and let them cry, let them get out of their bed, whatever, and then go back in quietly and say, would you like another chance? And they're always going to say yes. They're always going to get back in their bed, sit in the chair, and repeat that process until they fall asleep. So I love this method for over 18 months. I do like the chair method for infancy as well, but it's not my go-to. I really find that like age 18 months up until like six, honestly, do really well with this method. I don't love some, one parent asked me yesterday, actually, she was like, well, I don't know about a chair method. I don't really want to sit in there. And I would rather just teach them by closing the door and locking it. And that's what my pediatrician said to do. And, you know, that's feels easiest. And I mean, you are your child's parent. If that feels right for you and your specific child, do that. But that's not, keep in mind, pediatricians are not, they're probably always well-meaning for sure, but they're not trained specifically in sleep. And I just personally don't love having kids scream it out over the age of 18 months. I don't ever love having kids scream it out, but specifically over that age, it just doesn't work great, and it can make them more scared and like amplify fears. Some kids, they just take really well to it, and that's great. And I told that mom, I'm like, if you feel like your specific child will, you know, respond best to this, and that you guys will respond best to this, please do it. I am not your child's parent. I don't know their specific temperament. I don't know exactly how they're going to react to this. But for the most part, I do recommend doing something like the chair method. And we when you work one-on-one with me, we custom tailor this to your specific child. So it's not a one-size-fits-all plan by any means, but I do like it as a starting point. Having the chair about 3 feet away, and then as the nights go on, you're just kind of moving the chair further and further back towards the door until eventually you are in the hallway with the door open. They can still see you, but you're not in their room anymore. And then eventually you are completely out of their room with the door shut. So that's usually the route that I go working with my one-on-one toddler clients, and it works really well for the most part. We do have to sometimes adjust this plan, but for the most part, it works really well. So that is my go-to for a plan, having a plan. But whatever your plan is, just know it beforehand. Speak to your partner about it. If you have one, speak to anybody that is going to be watching your child overnight or for nap time so that they're all on the same page and you're not all approaching the wake-ups or the coming out of their room differently, because that'll just confuse them. And honestly, just sets you back on your progress. So just making sure everybody's on the right page, the same page, everybody has a plan. You can even print it out so that everybody has a physical reminder, or write it in your notes in your phone, but it should be a pretty simple plan that everybody can get on board with. Number five, don't let your frustrations or emotions show in front of your child. This is a huge one for me, because I think so often we can be so emotionally charged, especially when we're exhausted and especially when they're toddlers. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I think it's because we feel like they can understand more, and they were like, why are they doing this to us? Why won't they sleep? Why won't they just give me a break? And it's so easy to forget that they are still so little. When I'm working with a parent that's sleep training their infant, it's just the frustration isn't really there. It's more so worry or sad for letting them cry a little bit or something like those are the emotions that usually show up. For my toddler clients and for me specifically as a toddler mom sleep training her child, the number one response is typically frustration and even anger. So recognizing it before you get to that point where you're just going to snap and scream, which is going to help no one, leaving the room. Like I said in tip four, you know, having that plan and saying, if you keep getting out of your bed, I'm going to leave the room. You also need to have that plan in the back of your mind where you're like, if it gets too much and they're talking or singing, or it's been an hour and they're not falling asleep, they keep trying to talk to me, whatever it may be that is your trigger point, or, you know, they push your buttons, know that ahead of time so that you can say calmly, mommy needs to leave the room, daddy needs to leave the room, whoever it is, I just need a minute. You lay in your bed, I'll be right back, and leave the room, hold the door shut, lock the door, whatever you have to do, for a minute. They will be totally fine. If they start screaming their head off, it'll be 30 seconds of that, and then you'll be right back in there. But give yourself a minute. It is so much better to give yourself that minute and recover and get in the right mindset to respond with patience than it is to snap and then just have to kind of start all over. And then you feel guilty, and then you're trying to make it up to them, and then it's just a terrible cycle to be in. So give yourself that minute to recover and recuperate. You could even switch off with a parent. So if you're like, I'm losing it, I need to switch off with daddy, or vice versa, send the other parent in. Whatever you need to do to stay cool and calm, which is, again, so much easier said than done, but so important. So I just really, it's so important for me to convey that to parents, not to make them feel guilty, because of course everybody loses it sometimes, but just to kind of, as that reminder of, you know, keeping that in the back of your mind so that you can feel when your buttons are being pushed and you're getting to that breaking point where you might scream at them or say something you'll regret or just get to that level of frustration that it's hard to come back from. Just give yourself a minute. It's so much easier to just do that than to have to start all over. Number six is stay consistent. This is my number one, probably most important tip, is staying consistent and doing what you say you will do. Because these babies are older, and it's super important to be consistent with infant sleep as well, but specifically for toddler sleep, again, they're not doing this to get, you know, be rude to us. They're not doing this out of spite. They're not doing this specifically to push our buttons, but they might be doing this to push our boundaries. And they really, especially at that age of, like, you know, 3, 4, 5, they're seeing what they can get away with and what our response is going to be, so that they know for next time, oh, I could push her this far and then, you know, I get what I want, or I can do this many times and then I get to sleep with mommy and daddy. Staying consistent is so, so vital, not only during your day as a parent, but at night when you're putting them to bed or in the middle of the night. If you spend all this time at bedtime sitting in the chair being consistent, they fall asleep on their own, and then they wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh, just get in bed with me, I'm too exhausted to do anything about this. What are they going to do tomorrow night? They're going to get in bed with you again and again. They're never going to learn. So doing what you say you're going to do helps them feel like you have boundaries. It helps them feel like they have boundaries. They crave boundaries. I promise you, they might not know it. They definitely don't know it, but they do. They crave boundaries. They crave safety. They crave rules and knowing their limits. And you are there to enforce those limits. So having you being there to enforce that makes them feel safe and makes them feel like they can do it. It gives them that confidence. So be that person to keep your word, say what you mean and mean what you say. If you say you're going to leave the room for a minute, if they get out of their bed again, leave the room for a minute if they get out of their bed again. I don't want you to get to the point where you're just giving empty threats, because they know and they will catch on and it's just an endless cycle. And then you're like, well, I'm doing everything you say to do at bedtime, but then I'm exhausted in the middle of the night and they end up sleeping back with me. And then it's an endless cycle. So just do what you say you're going to do. It will help them feel safe. And I promise that they will catch on. It might feel like you're telling them over and over and over for a week straight and they're just not getting it, but I promise they will. And I promise they are getting it. It's just going to take some time, and it's going to take some, say it with me, consistency. That is the theme of this whole episode. I feel like just being consistent. So just know that you can do it, that they will get it. I promise they will get it, and they'll get there, and everybody will be sleeping again in no time. If for some reason you feel like they're just not getting it, or it's just not working for you and your lifestyle, or you have different, like you have kiddos sharing a room, or you're like me and you only have one parent present at bedtime and you have multiple children, if there are any circumstances that feel like it just makes this whole thing just too hard to do by yourself, please reach out to me. I'm leaving a link for a free discovery call in the show notes for you to book a free 15-minute call with me. I can tell you how I can help your family and your specific situation. Because again, every kid is different and every situation is different. Every parent and the way that they parent is different. So please feel free to reach out at any point. I also, like I mentioned, have the free Facebook group where I answer questions. You can feel free to pop in there and ask a question whenever you are, before you start doing this or while you're doing it. Get some support from other moms that have been through what you're going through or are about to. And I'm in there every day as well, responding to questions and giving you some encouragement. So please hear me when I say you can do this. Your kiddo can do this no matter what your situation is. If you're starting from a blank slate, if you're starting from your kid has been sleeping with you every single night since they were born and they're four and you're trying to move them into their room, they can do it. You can do it. I promise. I see it every day. If you are somebody who your kiddo has been a great sleeper and all of a sudden they're not, they can get back to being a great sleeper, I promise. So just hang in there and know that you can have your nights back. You can have that time to yourself again where you're not laying in bed with your kid for an hour, 2 hours trying to get them to sleep and then you're up all night. And there is light at the end of the tunnel, I promise. And I am here for you every step of the way. I pray this blesses you and have a great rest of your week, friend. Hey, sister. If this episode brought some value to your life, encouraged you, or made your day better in some way, please share this with another mama friend who could use some encouragement and let her know she is seen and loved. I would love for you to join me in my free Facebook group where I bring value like this every single day and get to answer your questions personally. You can find the link down below in show notes. I pray your day brings you peace and rest, and I can't wait for our next chat. Talk to you soon, sweet friend.